This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive. Coming up in 15 minutes. Todd Gurley had some very high praise about one of the Chiefs players. And you think Marcus Peters is already, well, becoming Marcus Peters. We'll talk about that. Coming up in 15 minutes. Also in 30 minutes, Joel Embiid was playing pickup basketball with just some random individuals. Joel Embiid was just playing pickup basketball with people Fanning's age, and shockingly, it was going very poorly for them. We will talk about that coming up in 30 minutes, and we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest.
But real quick, today's deal on GetMyPerks.com is amazing. Buy a $50 value gift card right now. You can do it for only $30. Buy a $50 gift card on GetMyPerks.com for only $30. Smokehouse Barbecue boasts three locations in the Kansas City area. Smokehouse Barbecue has also received high praise for the delectable sides, including fresh-made coleslaw, smoky and sweet barbecue beans, and some of the smoothest, richest sauce-level taste. Get your gift card and get to Smokehouse Barbecue right now.
We are going to do the Kansas City Sports Villain Hall of Fame. I promise you next week we will have a better name than this.
I liked it. I like the Sports Villain Hall of Fame.
It's very simple. What we do is we go around the drive crew and we nominate one person to be in the Sports Villain Hall of Fame. Currently, our first ballot consisted of Lynn Elliott, Peyton Manning, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We nominate one individual apiece. We then go on the phone line. We let you guys nominate somebody, and then we vote on the fourth person in our Twitter poll. The top 2% vote getters of the Twitter poll are inducted into the Sports Villain Hall of Fame. And Brad Fanning, as the elder statesman, as the OG, he gets one legacy vote. Last week, it was Lynn Elliott. It didn't need to go up for a vote. We'll see if his nominee this week needs to go to a vote. I will start things off. You know how in the Hall of Fame, there is always the one person that it's their responsibility to make sure one person gets pushed through?
Absolutely.
I will continue to vote for Phillip Rivers until he is no longer on the ballot and he is inducted into the Kansas City Sports Villain Hall of Fame. Find a bigger crybaby locally or someone that one of the local teams goes up against Phillip Rivers. There's nothing I enjoy seeing more as seeing Phillip Rivers pout and cry. Whether it was the Halloween game where he said worst day ever, whether it was the time he took his helmet off and was screaming into his helmet. I love when Phillip Rivers gets all upset. Nothing makes me more mad when they can't get the play called in and Phillip Rivers has a little bit of a mini meltdown because they have to call timeout. It is a no-brainer. This Hall of Fame was created for people like Phillip Rivers. I will not rest. I will not stop until the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers quarterback. One thing's going to happen. Either he's getting his ninth kid or he's getting into the Kansas City Sports Villain Hall of Fame. One of the two things is happening first. I will nominate one Phillip Rivers.
I'm going to go off the grid here a little bit, but follow me on this, okay? I'm going to nominate Juan Gonzalez. A few Royals fans that suffered through some bad years in the early 2000s, you'll remember Juan Gonzalez. Signed a one-year deal for $4.5 million, played in exactly 33 games, hit like five bombs, and he was done. Juan Gonzalez should have just walked into the Royals clubhouse with a paper bag, a ski mask, and a gun, and just got the money and got out of town.
We call that the Alex Gordon where I'm from.
God! Juan Gonzalez absolutely robbed $4.5 million from Kansas City.
We call that the Ian Kennedy where I'm from.
God!
We call that the Omar Infante where I'm from.
I hereby nominate one Juan Gonzalez to be in the Sports Villain Hall of Fame.
We call that the Danny Duffy where I'm from. That's what we call it. Spectre, who are you nominating for the Sports Villain Hall of Fame?
I'm going off the book as well. I'm nominating the Chiefs PR staff.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody has an issue with the Chiefs PR staff. No.
I do.
Not like
I'm not
Speck.
Putting them on the ballot.
I'm telling you Speck, this much.
We're the ones who are going to have to deal with this. You understand?
No. We don't deal with anything. They don't give us anything anyway, but here's what I'm going to say.
Ted, Brad, Sydney, I think you're all great people.
Luke, I got your back. I love the Chiefs.
Oh, my guy, Luke. Luke, you're great.
I love the Chiefs a lot.
G, you're my guy.
I wish the Chiefs loved Kansas City back the way the fans love the Chiefs.
I just want to say, whichever 19-year-old mole you got doing summer interning, hey, you're doing a great job. You're doing a bang-up job, kid. Keep
Chiefs
it going.
PR staff
keep it humming.
Nominated for the Casey Villain Hall of Fame.
Keep it humming. Chiefs PR got people doing 70-hour internships.
Sydney, Luke, Ted, Brad G, man, that was Speck. That was not on me and
yeah,
T-Dot.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I think you guys do a fine job. I think you guys are second to none. You guys are doing all the public relating that's humanly possible. I mean, yeah.
We know who's in control over there, man. We don't know nothing about Andy.
We don't know nothing about the players.
I mean, Ted,
we fell in love with the 2014-2015 Royals because they felt like they were a part of the city.
Yeah.
And having moved here, I haven't felt that way about my favorite football team since I was 7 years old.
Who do you think's pulling
the strings
over there?
One of the worst things about moving here has been seeing how the meat is made over One Arrowhead Drive.
Big Red's the one pulling the strings over there. That's how that works.
Well,
everybody else is a Mariette.
There's a certain...
Or Marionette, whatever
I'm not,
that is.
You know what? I'm not going to out the former players told me differently, but you know what? I've heard differently than that.
You know what? I mean, maybe the least surprising of all of this is every time Specter talks, it becomes fanning the flames. Every single time you open your mouth.
Spectering the flames.
Ted, I just want to say I look forward to our handshakes every time. Gee, I love standing in a circle and sharing stories with you. Yeah. I think you guys are fantastic. I think you guys are doing a bang-up job.
Gee, Iowa State, great job getting Matt Campbell. I know you're a big Iowa State fan. Go Clones.
Evan, in Lee's Summit, who are you nominating for the Kansas City Sports Villain Hall of Fame?
John Gruden.
John Gruden. Well,
that's a Chucky.
Is being nominated. Why are you nominating John Gruden for the Hall of Fame?
It's more than his haircut, man. The guy never, even when he calls the Chiefs games on the Monday night cast, he never says anything good about the Chiefs. He's like that other guy who has to say good things about the other team. It's really old.
All right, I got you, Evan and Lee Summit. What I love most about John Gruden is he equally likes every player in the NFL.
That's, I like that guy.
That's by far and away my favorite thing about John Gruden. Sean in Kansas City, go ahead.
I got to say Al Davis.
Al Davis. We got a Raiders edition right now of the Sports Hall of Fame. Why are you nominating Al Davis? Rest in peace.
Never could stand him. Hated the way he looked. Hated his stupid sunglasses. And hated sitting just watching him during the Raiders-Chiefs game. I couldn't stand the man.
All right, Sean in KC. All right, we're going to Stewartsville, which I'm not going to lie to you. I got no clue where that is. David in Stewartsville, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. It's about 20 minutes St. Joe on 36 Highway.
Oh, okay. All right, then. All right, who are you nominating for the Sports Villain Hall of Fame?
I am going to nominate a former Chiefs player, Elvis Gerbach.
Elvis Gerbach is a great one. I don't even got to ask you why. I saw him play. I know why you nominate him. Thanks, David. All right, we go to Brian and Lee Summit. Who are you nominating for the Kansas City Sports Villain Hall of Fame?
I was originally going to agree and say Al Davis, but because that's already been spoken, I'm just going to put out there and keep it with the theme, the Raiders.
The Raiders are the villain today. You're right. I mean, this is another one. I don't really have to ask you why you've nominated them, Brian. Thanks a lot.
And the Raiders got voted the most hated team in Kansas City. You know?
They did.
In our unscientific
vote. I will make one point, and then we will come to a vote of the four, which we will determine which one will go on the ballot. Very surprised. No one has said John Elway.
I know.
The last two times that we've done this, John Elway, not a first ballot sports villain. Very, very surprised. All right. We've got John Gruden, Al Davis, Elvis Gerbach, the Raiders. Who we nominate? I'm going to vote for Al Davis. I think he's perfect. I think Al Davis was meant for the Kansas City Sports Villain Hall of Fame.
I'm with you on Al Davis. I'll take Al Davis on this thing. Greasy hair, looks shady, track suits.
Greasy
own the Raiders. He's
better
out.
Than his son's hair.
Greasy.
That is bad. He's got bad hair.
Salad bowl. Greasy.
It is a bowl cut. Man, you think you got a little cash. Hey, Speck, I cut your hair.
Look great.
I cut your hair on Friday for that wedding you had to go to. I could give Mark Davis a better haircut than he has right now. Do you agree?
I agree.
All right.
He looks like the... Have you guys seen that movie, The Problem Child? You guys haven't seen it. That's who Mark Davis looks like. He looks like the little kid from Problem Child. All right, so we're putting Al Davis?
Yeah,
all right, Al Davis. So Phillip Rivers. Al Davis. The fine folks over at the Chiefs PR staff.
Back.
Who, again, are just doing a bang-up job. I mean,
I got no problem.
Hey, I just want to ask. Let me just go ahead and put in a formal request for Patrick Mahomes. Every time I see you, I will just ask if Patrick Mahomes wants to come on the show.
And you know what you'll say?
He's busy. He's busy. He can't do it.
Let me check.
He can't do it. He's way too busy.
They should keep scheduling the open locker room during the lunch hour. That's an effective way to go about their business.
He's way too busy to do it. And Juan Gonzalez has been nominated for the Sports Villain Hall of Fame. Time now for you to go to the villain.
I've been wanting to do this for a long time,
man.
I was the
legacy
first person
pick
on my block to own a television set.
That's right, man. I got to put the Maloof brothers on here. Most people don't know this, but the Maloof brothers bought the Kansas City Kings, and they promised the city that they wouldn't move the team. Then they said the team had to hit certain attendance marks down at Kemper Arena. Guess what happened? They sold more tickets than ever. It did. It hit them. Then they said it needed a better lease with Kemper Arena. So you know what the city did, C-Dot? The city offered them a $1 lease of Kemper Arena and a percentage of parking and concessions. And you know what happened on that very same day on January 21st, 1985, C-Dot?
They lied. They moved.
They lied. They moved the damn Kings to Sacramento. The Maloofs. You need to be in the you need to have your own freaking wing in the Sports Villain Hall of Fame. So that's my legacy pick. These a-holes came into Kansas City, bought the team, said they weren't going to move it, lied to the city, and moved them to Sactown.
I just want to ask you, because I think we would agree they're not on the same level of Lynn Elliott.
It's
are
true.
Are you using your they get a free pass automatically in, or are we taking it to the people to let them decide to vote? I don't want to tell you how to run the OG wing of the Sports Villain Hall of Fame.
I think these guys go straight in.
First ballot. All right. Hey, they're in. First ballot.
You got a couple of rich guys buying a pro sports franchise in Kansas City, lying to the people, and then the city mans up and says, hey, we'll give you a dollar lease at Kemper Arena, and we'll give you a cut of parking concessions, and then they move the team to Sacramento that same day. Yeah, no, the Maloofs need to be in there. They need their own freaking wing, man.
All right, we've got four people up for it. Spectre, if you can put up the Twitter polls. We've got Juan Gonzalez, Phillip Rivers, Al Davis, and I can't believe anybody would have anything negative to say about them, the Chiefs PR staff. The legacy pick is the Maloof brothers for what they did to the Kansas City Kings. The top two vote getters in our Twitter poll will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And they will go with Peyton Manning and the Pittsburgh Steelers and Lynn Elliott.
Last week's legacy
as
pick.
The current members in the Kansas City Sports Villain Hall of Fame. Coming up on the other side, Todd Gurley with some very high praise for Kareem Hunt and Marcus Peters as well, still being Marcus Peters. We'll get into it next on the drive. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Marcus Peters as well. Being Marcus Peters, we'll get into that. Plus, Todd Gurley had some very complimentary things to say about a player on the Kansas City Chiefs. Really quickly, I just want to read a little bit of a story and we can talk about it and move on. I don't want to bring people down. The state of Kansas finds 11 alleged violations at Schlitterbahn Water Park in KCK. They did another state inspection, and they found 11 violations of regulations at the park where you guys know the story of Caleb Schwab. He passed away 2 years ago. The slide still up, even though they said they was going to tear it down. Why in the world is Schlitterbahn still allowed to operate in Kansas City?
I don't know.
I legitimately don't have the answer for it. I understand that it's capitalism and money prevails, and I'm not here to tell anybody what to do with their money. Schlitterbahn would never get a dollar from me, not a penny from me.
Yeah.
From what we now know about the information that they had about the slide, now 11 alleged violations. Schlitterbahn's got to be closed for the summer. I don't know if Schlitterbahn's open right now. I don't know if they plan to open after the holiday or around the holiday, because that's when most water parks open. Schlitterbahn's got to get out of here. It's got to go. I just don't know how many more negative stories we can read about Schlitterbahn and continue to allow to operate in the 816-913 area.
I don't know all the details of who's been charged for what, but there's a lot of dudes that knew a lot of stuff that led to the death of little Caleb. So I'm with you, C-Dot. Like, they won't get a penny of my money either, ever.
It just doesn't. I just I'm legitimately confused at how Schlitterbahn continues to be open despite everything that we know about. Again, I don't want to bring anybody down. We don't got to spend too much time on it, but it just popped up, these allegations, and I'm like, how many of these do we have to read before Schlitterbahn just closes business for good and we don't ever have to discuss them or look at the slide ever again? In, I guess, more positive news, Todd Gurley was on NFL Network as they're doing their top 100 list. Here's who he thinks is the best running back in the NFL.
Number one, it's tough, man. I mean, you have to give it to Hunt. In order to be the best, you got to finish as the best. And for him, you know, he started off having a great year. He finished and led the lead in rushing as a rookie, which is hard to do, period. And for him to do that, great respect.
Very big praise from Todd Gurley, who was one of the five best running backs, probably one of the three best running backs last year in the NFL. I think Le'Veon Bell's the best running back in the NFL. There's no point in arguing on one versus three. Kareem Hunt is certainly a good one. I think a couple of things. I think running back is one of the few positions that you can be a rookie, come in, and instantly be Absolutely. Top five at your position. Mm-hmm. I guess you could maybe say wide receiver, but you can't do that at quarterback. Like, yeah. We got to see a little bit more at quarterback. But because of the shelf life that you have at the running back position, you can come in like Kareem Hunt, dominate for one season, and next year be a first-round fantasy football pick and instantly be considered one of the five best players at the position. I think I speak for everybody when I say, especially with the additions they have on offense, especially doing more reading, guys at The Athletic, guys at Arrowhead Pride, how Mahomes relied on running backs and throwing out of the backfield in college. I expect Kareem Hunt, if healthy, to have another big season next year for the Chiefs.
I think one of the things that made him so good last year is that it would take – it's either the second or the third guy that's going to get him down. He was elusive and he was tough to tackle. And I'm with you. To me, it's D-line, running back, and corner. Those are the positions that you could step right in my opinion, and have the biggest impact as a rookie.
I just look at it right now. I don't know if I'd probably have Kareem Hunt in my top five of running backs. I just have to see a little bit more. Like, I'd put Le'Veon Bell in front of him. I'd put Ezekiel Elliott ahead of him. I'd put David Johnson ahead of him. But certainly really good.
Yeah, he's up
there. I mean, the fact that you could spend a mid-round draft pick on a rookie salary – get a guy that's a top five running back or someone that Todd Gurley thinks is the best running back in the NFL, I think goes to the position.
Yeah.
I think it also goes to show you, especially here in Kansas City, where you've seen it with Kareem Hunt, where you've seen it with Jamaal Charles. I mean, the time to pay Kareem Hunt is going to come a lot sooner than people want it to come,
yeah.
And you can't do it. The same thing that the Steelers are doing right now with Le'Veon Bell, man, we'll give you one-year deals while you're still playing at your prime. We can't guarantee you $40 million. Like, it sucks that's the way the position is, and I think they're certainly going to do something about it the next time with the CBA. Man, it is too easy to find guys like Kareem Hunt. You just can't justify, in my opinion, paying a running back given how expendable they are and the injury concerns of the position. You just can't justify paying them big money, in my opinion.
No, you can't. And I mean, the shelf – again, I always say this too, C-Dot. You know, years on running backs are like dog years, man. They're like 7 years per season. That's how much wear and tear those guys get. I will be curious to see. I mean, the Chiefs stocked up on running backs in the offseason. They got the two Williams guys, Spencer Ware's coming back. They'll probably try to take a little bit of wear and tear off Kareem Hunt. But I'm also curious with the addition of Sammy Watkins about how much wear and tear that'll take off Kareem Hunt. I mean, look at the options they have offensively. When you got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins, you could take some of that burden off Kareem Hunt. But if the Chiefs come up against a defense where they know they can run the football, then they got that option too. That offense to me is dangerous.
Yesterday, Marcus Peters met up with the Los Angeles media. They are starting OTAs as well. Here's what Marcus Peters had to say about one of his teammates.
Hey, man, he pay the man. I mean,
gotcha.
I mean, you win the MVP, man. Come on now.
So it has now begun in L.A. There was one practice, one OTA in the books, and Marcus Peters, the new guy, is telling his boss to pay somebody else in Aaron Donald. I'm not going to sit here and argue that saying Aaron Donald doesn't deserve to get paid, because he does. He's fantastic. But Marcus Peters is there for one practice, and he's saying pay the man. One practice. L.A., you traded for this. All right? It's just the beginning. One practice, and he's saying pay the man. I mean, like, he doesn't have him in him. He doesn't have, like, a humble – just, Marcus, stay away from that, man. I mean, it's part of the reason the stuff that you said and some of the stuff you did, it's why you got shipped out of Kansas City. It had nothing to do with your ability. And now he has one practice in, and he's telling Rams management who to pay. You got to back off on that, man.
I feel like something happened with you and Marcus Peters that now you can't even – I mean, I feel like this would endear you to the guys in your own locker room. You were advocating for another guy on your team to get paid?
Well, in the locker room it will, absolutely. And if he was in Kansas City going into year four and was saying that about a Kansas City player, I wouldn't have a problem with it. One practice in L.A., they just traded for him, and now he's telling – like, if you're the owner, you're the GM, you're like – I knew we traded for this, but now he's telling us what to do and how to spend our money.
I mean, I guess this isn't a message that I don't think they've heard from a lot of other people. Aaron Donald is one of the three best defensive players in the NFL.
He's phenomenal.
Pro Bowl last 4 years, three straight times All-Pro. Yeah. He won Associated Press Defensive Player of the Year, and he's holding out because of a contract dispute.
Yeah.
I think they know about Aaron Donald and that it's time to pay him, and that's certainly the part. Now, I certainly think Aaron Donald will be there when it's time to get paid because it's just – it's too much on the line personally for Aaron Donald, and it's too much on the line for the team. I guess I just – I mean, now we got a problem with him sticking up for one of the guys on his team.
The question wasn't, hey, Marcus, should they pay Aaron Donald? It wasn't about that. He just came out, and he basically just told his new team to pay a guy. I mean, like, Marcus, I'm telling you, man, you're going to cost your – he will cost himself so much money over the course of his career by saying stupid stuff and doing stuff, stupid stuff. And as Larry Johnson talked about, you know, on this station, when Larry Johnson said, he looked back, he said, man, I cost myself a lot of money and I was a total knucklehead. If I just would have shut up and if I just would have done some things some different ways, I'd have a hell of a lot more money and my career would have kept going. I think Marcus Peters is headed in that direction. I think Marcus Peters is a great player. It has nothing to do with talent here.
I feel kind of wrong putting him in the category of Larry Johnson.
I'm not putting him in the category of Larry Johnson. I'm saying Larry Johnson said, I look back and I was an idiot. He goes in some of the – Marcus Peters, I have to go back and look up the amount of fines he's already incurred. Marcus Peters has already cost him a lot of money. Marcus Peters got shipped off of a team, you know, for some of the stuff that he did, and now he's one OTA practice into it, and he's telling the Rams who to pay? I mean, and when he wasn't even asked that question – I agree. Aaron Donald should be paid. Aaron Donald will get paid. But you're one practice hit, and now you're telling your new team what they ought to do with their money. I just don't think it's Marcus Peters being Marcus Peters.
This is what Marcus Peters had to say yesterday about Aaron Donald.
Hey, man, he pay the man. I mean, he
gotcha.
I mean, you win the MVP, man. Come on now.
I just can't believe now we're hating on Marcus Peters for being a good teammate, you know?
Hey, that'll go a long way in the locker room. I'm not saying it won't.
I guess I think that's being a fantastic teammate. I assume the question was you asked about Aaron Donald not being there as he's decided he's not going to be at OTAs. Yeah. I wouldn't show up at OTAs if I was Aaron Donald either. They ask you your opinion. You say, hey, pay the guy's salary. Yeah. The guy's one of the three best defensive players in the NFL. Von Miller, J.J. Watt, and Aaron Donald. One of the three best guys in the NFL. I think you should pay him. And now we're getting on for saying pay your teammate.
He's there for one day, man. He just walked in the building. You know, text line's great. Fanning sucks. Fanning's mad at Peters for kneeling. I don't care that he knelt. I've been over this a million times. Go back and check the tape. Do whatever you want. I'm just saying, man, you're walking in there after one practice, it's already begun in L.A. It's the beginning of it.
Speaking of paying somebody, you can win $1,000 in our national cash contest. You got a chance to win a cool grand coming up on the other side of the break. All you got to do is stay tuned. We'll get to that next on the drive. It's time for $1,000 on the 30s. Text the word foot, F-O-O-T, foot. 72881. That's foot. You could be the $1,000 cash winner on National Cash Contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance to win up to $12,000 each weekday. It's very simple. All you got to do is listen in on the 30s from 7A to 7P. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour at 5:30. That is your last chance to win during the drive. So I'd be listening at 5:30. Complete rules and listings are at 610sports.com. One more time for those of you that are hard of hearing in the back.
What?
Foot. F-O-O-T. Foot. Text the word foot to 72881.
Did you guys see what Joel Embiid was doing in Atlantis the other day?
I did happen to see
on
a little bit of that.
On Sunday, he was scared to go down the water slide. But yesterday, he took to the basketball court and was going up against a bunch of guys who frankly, just didn't look like they knew what they were doing. Brad, no offense to you. Some of them were shaved heads.
Yeah.
Very short.
Studs.
Studs on the basketball court.
Yeah.
And by studs, I mean looked like they were completely inept and didn't have any clue about what was going on or who they were playing basketball with. So Joel Embiid, and I believe his girlfriend, she was taking an Instagram video kind of from the sidelines. Joel Embiid's out there, no shirt on, playing some hoops with some guys who do not deserve to be on the same court as Joel Embiid. I think we all kind of have this story where once in a while the magic strikes and you run into a situation where you're playing with a celebrity or a former player in a sport that you love. I remember, and I've told this story on the show before, that R. Kelly was doing a concert at Syracuse one time. Came into the gym to play pickup with us, and he was the only one allowed to shoot. It was him and four bodyguards versus me and my buddies, and R. Kelly was the only person on the team allowed to shoot. Now, we crushed him because we figured that out pretty soon. Got dunked on one time by Hakeem Warwick in pickup basketball when I was a little fat, pudgy freshman at Syracuse University. But I think we all
used
have
to be
that
a fat
once.
Kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
5'8", 180 out of high school.
Attaboy.
Yeah, nice and pudgy. I really liked my Haribo gummy bears back in the day.
Yeah.
But I think we all have that one story where we're playing a sport that we love and we're going up against someone who is much better at us, even maybe a professional. I also went skating one time, and Ken Morrow happened to be on the ice. For those of you who don't know who Ken Morrow is, part of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team who beat Russia. So that was pretty crazy because he was deking me all over the ice, and I still couldn't skate at that time. So I know, Brad, you have a story about Monty.
Yeah.
But if you have any good stories on the text line, or if you want to call in about a time you went up against a professional athlete in a sport that you love and it's a game of pickup, call in 913-576-7610. Maybe we can get you some Rockfest tickets.
So basically, we just need your casual encounters athletically with an athlete. Maybe you've been in a foursome with somebody famous. Maybe you played an AAU ball, high school ball, pickup game with a celebrity. With a famous athlete. Call up right now, 913-576-7610. Plus, we'll read the best of your text messages. Text line 69306.
The funniest story that I heard, and this actually didn't have to do with me, but I confirmed it with Jeff Montgomery, Royals Hall of Famer. More saves than anybody in Royals history. He played in my old man league for a while. A lot of those former Royals played in that league after they retired for a little bit. And one of the guys that still plays in my league, his name's Normie. He's an awesome dude. He was up to hit against Monty, and Normie got the bunt sign, and he squared around before Monty got into his motion. So Monty threw a heater, you know, and then he told Normie, he said, listen, if you do that again before I start my delivery, I'm going to drill you. And keep in mind, Monty was not that long out of the big, so, I mean, he's throwing what, probably mid to upper 80s? So Normie squared around again because he got the bunt sign, and Monty drilled him, the all-time saves leader. So I went to Monty and I asked him that story because that's exactly true. You don't square around a bunt on me before I start my delivery. So I don't have any like amazing encounters athletically. I mean, I played with a couple of web.com guys in pro-ams and stuff like that. I mean, maybe my biggest brush is Katie Holmes bought me a beer one time in Toledo, Ohio at a TGI Fridays. But that's all I got, man, athletically.
All right, let's go to the phone line. Let's hear some of your stories. Ryan in Kansas City. Go ahead, man.
Hey, I got two. First, in high school and college, I played against Pujols.
Oh, wow.
When they won state, I beat them 11-1 in high school. It was their only loss that year. And then also in men's league, same one as Fanning, we did an aluminum bat tournament, and it was two outs, and Danny Jackson, with the bases loaded, hit a bomb walk-off on me at Mackin Park. It went over the railroads at Mackin Park.
Yeah, that's a smoke shot. I mean, that park's not huge.
Thanks, Ryan,
still,
for the phone call.
If it goes over the railroad tracks, that's a bomb, man.
That's an incredible, that's a long way to hit a baseball. Yeah, Jesse and Lawrence, go ahead, man. Jesse,
you there, man?
Should have known not to go to Lawrence, Kansas for anything productive. Let's go to Rick in Spring Hill. Tell us your story, man.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So back when he was playing, Teron Liu is connected to some of my friends that played basketball at Mid-American Nazarene in Olathe, and we'd go up there in the summer and play pickup ball with them.
All right, little Teron Liu, little pickup ball. I bet a lot of people have those kind of stories just because they're from here. You know, like I see a couple people in the text line. We played against Josh Freeman. Well, he went to Grandview. That's not, you know what I mean? A lot of people have that story. We could get people that says, man, I played against Riley Pine. Well, yeah, he just pitched 2 years ago. That's not,
my buddy's,
not that big of a deal.
My buddy's older brother, Ed Valdez, got dunked on by Danny Manning when it was Shawnee Mission North versus Lawrence when Manning was a senior there.
The story I actually would like to hear somebody that played against Bubba Starling.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you lived in Kansas City around that time, and Bubba Starling was like high school Bo Jackson, like the stories that were told about Bubba Starling were bigger and bigger every single time you heard a story about him. I'd love to hear someone's, I tried to defend him and it didn't work out very well.
The only story that I have when it comes to Bubba, I had a story on him when I was working at Channel 5 before the draft. And he was up to bat, and he hit a ground ball so hard to the right of the shortstop, and it was a ground. He hit it so hard that the left fielder couldn't get to it. The ball got all the way to the wall. And as I'm watching the ball, you know, and watching the left fielder, I see this blur come into my vision, and Bubba was so fast, he had a stand-up triple on a hard-hit ground ball about two, three steps to the right of the shortstop that went all the way to the wall.
Let's go back to the phones. Cody and Belton, go ahead, tell your story.
I got to race against Mark Martin at Thunder Valley in Arkansas. He hit me in the corner so hard that I actually rolled off the track.
Thanks for the phone call. That's Cody M. Belton.
That's good stuff, man.
Let's go to Riley in KCK. Go ahead, Riley.
Okay, so I play at the KU Rec all the time. I go there, and my friend, he played ball in high school, and he always holds his own against everybody there. You see KU players there all the time, and nobody realizes how good athletes they are, because I know you in particular, Carrington. You don't care about Mitch Lightfoot. No one really does. He killed my friend. He drilled pull-up threes in his face, 5 feet beyond the arc. He just murdered him in a pickup game.
I'm 100% convinced, and thank you for the phone call, Riley. If I play Mitch Lightfoot in a game to 10, I'm winning 10-8.
Come on now.
100% convinced I'm giving Mitch Lightfoot buckets if he guards me.
Man, I wish sports betting was legal in Kansas right now. I would lay so much money on Mitch Lightfoot.
I'm giving Mitch Lightfoot buckets.
If I was healthy, I'd give Mitch Lightfoot buckets.
Come on now.
Come on now.
He is terrible.
I'm giving Mitch Lightfoot
buckets.
How clueless are you guys, man? Okay, of course he's terrible when he's going against Mo Bamba.
I'm just telling you, I'm giving Mitch Lightfoot buckets.
But if he's going against Carrington or Spectre, the mole,
all right. I mean,
he's going to light you guys up.
If that's what you think, I'm just telling you.
I put the ball between his legs and give him Jace.
I'm giving Mitch buckets. I'm telling you, if we play 1-1 going to 10, 10-8, I'm beating Mitch Lightfoot in a game of basketball. I'm beating him 10-8.
I would pay to see that.
Mitch, you know it. Text line.
He was the player of the year in Arizona.
Well, all right. I mean,
coming out of high school.
They must not have a lot of hoopers. They must not have a lot of hoopers in Arizona.
Because
I just know I'm giving Mitch Lightfoot buckets.
Oh, my God.
He might not score. If we're being completely honest.
You're going to shut out Mitch Lightfoot?
Mitch might not score.
Tyler Self would shut you out, C-Dot.
Okay. If that's what you think. No. I mean, I'm on the complete other side of that.
I've always said, and I'm going to get yelled at for this, if you gave me 10 at-bats against Martin Rivera, I'm getting a hit.
No, you're not.
Coming up on the other side, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest at 5:30. We'll get to the top stories of the day coming up. When Spectre says stuff like that has to be the end of the segment. I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to laugh anymore. Yesterday, there was a question going around on Twitter that got all of us thinking about one of the greatest movies of all time. We'll tell you what it is next on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, we have one more chance for you to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest coming up at 5:30. We've got a chance for you to win Royals tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City in the hits. But yesterday, there was a question going around on Twitter that I want to ask all of you and the text line, because if we had to maybe tally up the lives of individuals, there is not a human being that lived a better life the one, Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump did everything. What is the greatest accomplishment by Forrest Gump?
Well, other than the fact that he ran out of his leg braces against the bullies, I think that was pretty cool.
I mean, he outran a car in the movie.
But for me, I don't think it's even close, man. I other than having relations with Robin Wright Penn, I thought that was quite an accomplishment. But for me, I thought it was teaching Elvis how to dance. I thought that's the greatest accomplishment that Forrest Gump was able to pull off.
Say, man, show me that crazy little walk you just did there. Slow it down some.
You ain't nothing but a...
I like that guitar. It sounded good. I started moving around the music, swinging my hips.
I mean, Forrest teaching Elvis how to dance. The king of rock and roll. He taught him his, like, signature move that drove ladies crazy, man.
Spectre, this is one of your favorite movies.
It's his favorite movie.
What would you say is the greatest thing that Forrest Gump accomplished in his life? There's a lot of things to choose from. This might be one of those things, like, there is no bad answer.
I mean, it's kind of the depressing answer, but he saved a lot of guys in Vietnam and survived Vietnam.
He did. He saved Bubba, right?
He did not. Well, Bubba died.
He attempted to save Bubba, but he saved
a lot of people from his unit from getting caught up in the jets coming over and sweeping out that area. And he survived Vietnam, which unfortunately a lot of American soldiers did not at that time.
He did save Lieutenant Dan.
The sad answer may be surviving Vietnam.
He's good at ping pong, too. I like when he was playing ping pong.
Yes, he was.
That's your answer? Your answer is the standard answer? He was a war hero?
I didn't say war hero. I said saving his friends and making it back to Jenny.
He can drink a lot of Dr. Peppers, too. I like that about him.
He got to meet the president two separate times in the movie. What I'm going to pick from Forrest is, if you follow me on Twitter for any length of time, you know that I hate Jenny from Forrest Gump like she is an actual living, breathing human being. Do you want my movie theory?
Yeah.
I think Jenny trapped Forrest. I think Jenny was already pregnant, and she slept with Forrest, so now she can say, that's your kid. And she knew that Forrest was dumb enough to go along with anything she said because she loved Forrest unconditionally. I think Jenny trapped Forrest. I think she played on the one thing she knew is Forrest would love me unconditionally and accept whatever you tell me. So my thing is going to be...
The kid kind of looked like Forrest, though. It's not like he came out and he was black or something.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
My thing is that Forrest, and we've all been here, Forrest truly loved a woman unconditionally. Yeah. There is not a man that has loved a woman greater than the love that Forrest had for Jenny.
I'd make a good husband, Jenny.
You would, Forrest.
But you won't marry me.
You don't want to marry me.
Why don't you love me, Jenny? I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
If you think about all the stuff that Jenny had going on in her personal life and all the times that they interacted in his life, from the stuff when she was in college, when he saw her with the man and he had to beat the guy up, when he had to get her off the stage when she was playing the guitar naked, from the time the guy hit her at the Black Panther thing, from just the entire movie is based on Forrest Gump being curved repeatedly by Jenny. They had one positive interaction his entire adult life, and then she magically shows up with this letter. Oh, I got a kid. Oh, it's yours. Forrest didn't question it. Forrest still married her even though she was sick. Yep. That's true love. All the other stuff is really cool, but the hardest thing you can do in life is love another person unconditionally no matter how much they treat you. The greatest thing Forrest ever accomplished in that movie was loving Jenny.
I thought Forrest's mom unconditionally loved that principal for about 5 minutes, didn't she? I mean, I think there was that, you know, I mean, you know.
That's one of those things that I honestly had absolutely no clue what was happening until I got older. Like, I legitimately had no clue what was happening until I got older. I'm serious. The text line is saying, I agree with C-Dot. Jenny is the worst human on the planet. There's like two characters that I absolutely hate like they're real. Janice Soprano. If you've ever seen The Sopranos, Janice is the absolute worst human being in the world.
Is that Tony's wife? Is that who it is?
No, that's his sister.
Oh,
Janice
sister.
Is his sister. Carmella is his daughter. Or excuse me, his wife in the thing. I mean, Janice Soprano is the absolute worst. She's got the greatest setup. She doesn't have to do anything, and all she does is complain. She's like Spectre during Give Us a Minute. That's what she is. She's Spectre during Give Us a Minute. The entire show, she is absolutely terrible. Where the fact that Tony has to kill her husband, she's so annoying the entire show. And Jenny, I'm telling you, Forrest did nothing but love that woman unconditionally the entire time. Forrest tried nothing but to give her a better life. Think about Forrest, all he accomplished in his life. He was Devin Hester in the movie. He was Saving Private Ryan in the movie. Oh, that didn't work out. I'll go be the greatest ping pong player in the history of the world. I spoke at the Lincoln Memorial. I invested in this little fruit company called Apple. He then becomes the greatest shrimping boat person in the history of the world, where he just has so much money that he can just give half of his company to a dead person's family. Forrest did a lot of great stuff in his life, but I'm telling you, the greatest thing he did was love Jenny unconditionally, even though she was an absolute train wreck. There's nothing I feel passionately about than Jenny.
She's just flawed. She was trying to find herself.
She was the worst. Jenny sucked.
She brought Forrest up into her like her dorm room when she was in college and taught him how to feel some things.
Left off getting Nixon impeached.
Yeah, she did.
Because he was in Watergate.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I forgot about that. I mean, I'm sitting here forgetting stuff. No, he did help get Nixon impeached. He did just call. He came up with that thing. He ran on that
have
little
a
t-shirt.
Nice day.
He came up with that.
Yeah.
He ran from West Coast to East Coast like six times.
He made Nikes popular.
Yeah. Forrest lived no one's lived a greater life than Forrest Gump. No, I'm serious. No one lived a greater life than Forrest Gump. No, the text line's like forgetting, like saying stuff that happened throughout it. No, it is insane. And then he's still just like, hey, I just cut the grass because I just want to do it. You know, I just want to cut grass in my free time. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.